Welcome to episode 45 of the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Coming at you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, I am your host, Trey Gibson. Well, guys, it is officially March 1st, 2012. I saw a funny cartoon the other day. Two Aztecan men are sitting in a room, and one of them is carrying this giant, the Aztecan solar calendar, and the other guy's looking at him, and the guy who's got the calendar, who, you know, he goes, "Well, I only had enough room to go up till 2012, and the other guy's looking at him and saying, "Well, that's going to really freak some people out one of these days." So, first off, if you're saying, "Trey, do you put any stock in the Mayan calendar?" No, I don't. Personally, I actually, as much as I make a jest about that joke, I think there's a lot of truth to it. I do not think the world will be coming to an end, but even if it was, I am okay with it. Okay, guys, with all of that said, let's jump into topic for today. I'm pretty pumped up about our topic for today. Our topic today is picking your battles. I cannot even begin to talk about how many folks that I see that get into battles with their kids, and I'm just watching them and thinking, what the heck does that really matter? And you want to know who out of at least one out of every two of those people I see doing that is? It's me. It's me as a parent. And then I'll get done with that, and I'm like, man, why did I make such a big deal out of that? And so we're going to talk today about picking your battles. What are some of the rules that you use for picking battles? What are some of the things you want to do? What are some of the things you don't want to do? We're going to pull on some article. We're going to pull from an article written by Jamie DeLuna over at avantgardeparenting.com. Really well-written article. You're going to want to take a listen to this episode today, and we're going to want to get you over there to check out her site. But we'll get more into that here in just a little bit. Guys, before we get started on that, let's do a little bit of housekeeping. Guys, as always, consider liking me on Facebook and Twitter. You guys at Facebook and Twitter right now, I mean, I'm going to be straight with y'all. Y'all become my backbone to all of this. Also, the folks at Stitcher, you guys are blowing me away at just how many downloads we're getting over at Stitcher. Thank you guys for doing that. I want to make a real quick statement to y'all. Again, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you guys. Y'all are awesome. And when I'm checking my stats, that I'll do that about once a day. I'll go check my stats and just see where we are. It's you guys that give me some of the biggest motivations to get back up here and write more content and more articles. Could I do it without it? I think so, because I love and I'm so passionate about this. But it's seeing those folks that are downloading and listening and checking out the info that makes me go, man, I'm going to write me another one today. So thank you guys. I appreciate y'all. I want to hit a big thing today, guys. Consider signing up for my podcast subscribe. All that is a completely free service that just allows you to get emails whenever I've updated any new information software. I often have site-wide broadcasts that I put out to all of my listeners. You got the site-wide broadcast yesterday, and you were like, "Trey, what the heck is in here?" That was my first time to shoot one of those out. I apologize. I'm working that out. This next round that I send that out, it should work better. In that, I just ask for ideas, tips, thoughts, things that you want to see, ideas that you want to have put on the podcast. And I put out a whole other host of stuff. We're going to be doing some giveaways here in the next 2 weeks that we're going to be going through. So whenever I have the ability to send site-wide broadcast out through email, it allows me to get you guys signed up for that. We're also going to be doing some free giveaways here pretty quick on some material and some books that I have for you guys that you are going to want. They are amazing, and you've got your opportunity to give them away free. All you got to do is sign up for the podcast, subscribe, enter your name and your email address, and you'll be getting emails from me. You can unsubscribe to those. It is an opt-in. It is completely free. You can get at it at any time that you want. And then, guys, next, also consider listening to FPN on your mobile device through iTunes, Stitcher, or Kindle. There are links on the sidebars over there to make it super-duper easy for you. And then last, consider connecting with me on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Pinterest, or on my RSS feed. With all the housekeeping out of the way, guys, let's get into our topic for today, picking your battles. One of the things that I do for you guys is I look for good writers, good bloggers, good sites for you guys to connect with. FPN can't do it all. I can't meet every single need of every single person out there, especially not in these earlier episodes. Once we start getting 400 or 500 episodes out here in a year, year and a half, I expect I'll be able to do that for you a lot better. But until then, I need other people. And then let's just be honest. We love it whenever we get to hear new people. If you've listened to the same person every single day after day after day after day, what kid in high school didn't love it when you had a substitute come in? Now, I mean that outside of the fact that you could do whatever you wanted and you felt like you could get away with anything because your teacher wasn't there. But, I mean, we like it when things are changed up. We like a little bit of mix-up, especially when it's somebody who's good, who's accurate, who's authentic, and who really cares about other people like I care about you guys. That's who I want you having exposure to. I want you getting around those people that know their junk and who care about other people. And so, I do a lot of that research for you guys. Now, understand, there are some really excellent writers that are out there. There are some excellent just bloggers. Some of them have PhDs. Some of them have, in fields related to, like, TV. But they write really good stuff. And there's stuff that, as a daddy, I'm reading going, man, that's really good. And I look for those articles and those people out there. Now, I also, guys, understand, there are some really horrible people out there that are completely untrustworthy. That are mean-hearted, that are angry, that are mad, that are just upset with the entire world, and they are not the people that I want you listening to. Not because I care that they're upset, but because they'll often solicit horrible parenting advice based out of their upsetness and anger. So with that said, I want to kind of filter for you guys out some of those folks that are not worth spending much time on, and try to help you guys find those folks that got the right stuff right. Does that mean that I have to agree with this blogger on every single item? Absolutely not. That's the beautiful thing about being humans. But what I look for are just those basic core tenets. And I found some of those today. And as I was doing some of this research this week, I stumbled across a site called avantgardeparenting.com. I'm going to put a link to that in the show notes, both to this lady's homepage as well as this particular article that I'm going to reference. This site is actually a blog written by Jamie DeLuna. She's a PhD. So I put that PhD in there because that's going to appease those you guys that are out there that are like, you know, y'all want the creds. Y'all want to know what their credentials are. My wife is one of those people. She wants to know what your credentials are or she doesn't want to listen to your material. Doesn't matter how good it is. If you don't have the credentials, she doesn't care. Now, moving on, she also writes incredibly excellent content. She writes great articles. And let me tell you this, her philosophy, I think, is spot on. I say that to appease those of you who care not about the credentials, but you care about the character. Who are they as a person? You know, and so I think that she is absolutely amazing. She was nominated by the Bloggers Choice Awards, and I'll be honest, while I was on her site, once I got a feel for who she was, I went up there. They're still going on. I clicked on the Blogger Choice Award link that she put up there, and I went and voted for her site. I felt she was that good. Combine that with the second part of this topic for today. I've been kind of eyeballing this topic in my cue list. I have a list of topics that I'm going to get to that I'm doing. I'm knocking them out of over 100 now. And no, I take it back. It's not quite 100, but there's a lot. And anyway, I've been kind of eyeballing this particular topic for about the last 4 weeks. And it's this one topic called Pick Your Battles. And I've been looking at that thinking, man, I need to do it. Man, I need to do that. But I have learned an invaluable lesson in doing this. Wait until you are feeling the topic before you jump into this. And so, haven't been feeling the topic, and so I've just learned you put it off, you wait till you kind of get that feel for it. So, while I was doing the research for you guys, trying to find some bloggers that I recommend to get you guys hooked up with, get some traffic to them, I stumbled across, guess what, this particular website, and guess what one of her topics was? Choosing your battles. So, guys, first, I want you to hear me say, this has FPN's recommended readings list stamped right on it. I highly recommend that you guys check her out. It aligns with FPN principles. Even if she and I just diametrically are opposed, total opposite, polar opposite ends of the spectrum belief about one of the topics, we agree on the core fundamentals, and that's all that really matters. This is that stuff, guys. She aligns on the stuff that matters and actually produces results. All the other stuff you can get away with disagreeing, and you're going to still create awesome, healthy kids that have relationships with them that you don't want to pull your hair out. So, why did I choose to do it this way instead of writing it myself? The reason for that is how she put it. Honestly, I couldn't have put it any better or more succinctly. Jamie did an incredible job of putting these out in points, so we're going to go through that. I'm going to read this article to you guys now and then do quick comments at the end. So anyway, this is Choosing Your Battles by Jamie DeLuna over at avantgardeparenting.com. Here we go. Choosing your battles. If you fought every battle with your child, you'd never stop fighting. If you didn't engage in any negotiation, you'd miss valuable clearing, and by the way, that was her emphasis on the clearing throat, teaching moments in which your child learns to get along, trust, and then let others lead. So, what is the right balance? Here are a few tips for the exhausted mama and daddy on choosing your battles. Number one, safety. When it comes to safety, it's a no-brainer. Engage in the battle. You're the parent, and you're responsible to seeing to it that your child does not hurt him, herself, or another child. This includes physical hurts as well as, and listen to this, guys, as well as emotional hurts. We'll talk about that a little bit at the end. Number two, say yes when you can. Children like to have control over their own lives and feel like they are making important decisions that affect them. Saying yes to everyday battles like what to wear to school or staying outside 5 more minutes saves you the heartache or argument and allows your child to exercise independence. Say something like, I can hear that you're really having fun with your friends outside and you'd like to finish up for a few more minutes. I'll set the egg timer for 5 more minutes and when it goes off, it will be time to come inside and hop in the bath. Quick tip. This is her quick tip. Think to yourself, and listen to this, guys. This is great. Will it hurt my child? Will it greatly affect the rest of our day? If the answer is no, challenge yourself to say yes. I love that quick tip. Number three, listen to your child's opinions. Even if you know that the eventual answer will be no, listen to your 7-year-old's reasons for wanting to stay up past midnight on a school night, or your 5-year-old's argument as to why it would be a really good idea to get 4 family puppies. Just like adults, when children feel heard, the letdown is much easier. When appropriate, offer an alternative. Say, staying up till 10 o'clock p.m. on a Friday, or going to visit the SPCA for 1 weekend. I'm going to assume the SPCA is some kind of shelter for animals or puppies or something to that effect. Number four, when you negotiate, really negotiate. I love this. Remember, we always talk about children have crap dar, right? That was her. That was my addendum, not hers there. Going back to her article, children, even young ones, understand when their ideas are being considered versus when they're being shut down. Let me say that again. Children, even young ones, understand when their ideas are being considered versus when they're being shut down. First, listen to these guys. These are important. These are really, really good. Use phrases like, okay, I hear that you want, and it sounds like you're asking for is followed by, is that right? This way you can make sure that you've got all your facts straight. Point number two. Next, state your side, if different from your child's, by saying something like, my issue is that if we, then, or, I'm concerned that, and then point number three, see if your child has any solutions or introduce a possible solution with a phrase like, here's an idea. And then last paragraph of our article is this. Battles and power struggles with kids can be tricky, but it doesn't always have to be stressful. Knowing when to let go and knowing how to handle the ones you choose to take on can make all the difference. First off, guys, that is just an amazing piece of literature that she put out. If y'all noticed, I've always advocated for and pushed the nurturing parent curriculum. I've always told you guys, if you ever get the opportunity to do that, if you listen to this, I wonder if she hasn't been submersed in a lot of the nurturing parent. If she hasn't, she's been submersed in the philosophies, and that rocks, because this stuff is really, 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 really good. So let me just go through kind of some quick thoughts over this article, some of the things. This is one of those articles, guys, that I could sit down and go sentence by sentence and say, wow, okay, here's this. Wow, okay, here's this. Okay, wow, here's this. This is just so well written. Not going to do that. You guys are awesome. Y'all are smart. Y'all can read through that. And you guys are different from me, and you're going to pull things out of there that are specific to y'all and specific to your family individually. And I'm going to let you guys do that. But I do want to elucidate. I want to hit a few main points here that I think are really important and especially important. So let me walk you guys through those. Issue number one that I loved. The number one parent that struggles with this idea of picking your battles, not needing to win everything. The number one parent that struggles with this is, guess who? Those parents that really, really, really like to be right. Now, I'm saying this because I'm examining myself. I can be one of those parents very quickly. I really like to be right. I like to be right a lot. Now, as I've gotten older, the more mature that I've gotten, and some of you guys out there might be like, yeah, Trey, well, I'd question that word, at least some, but, and I wouldn't necessarily disagree with you in all cases, but with all of that said, the more mature that I've gotten, the more I've gotten to that point where I'm able to just say, man, I didn't know that, you know, or man, I was wrong, and my wife has been a crucial part in teaching me that. She's so good at that, always has been, and I've learned a lot from her, being able to just admit, you know, I was wrong. But, you know, first off, we all like to be right. I think every one of us enjoys being right or getting the right answer. Like, one of the things that I get right a lot is like, when my wife and I are watching a movie, and I'll be like, oh, that's so-and-so from that movie. She's like, no, it's not. It's this person from that movie. I'm going to say 9.5 to 9.8, you know, times out of 10, I'm right about that kind of stuff. And many, many moons ago, my wife used to, like bet me money. I'd be like, you bet money? Oh, yeah, $20. She didn't do it anymore, and there's a reason for that. Don't get me wrong. My wife has those things, and she smokes and owns me, and particularly Jeopardy. But everybody likes to be right. And so that's not what I'm talking about here whenever I say that, you know, this is the parent that likes to be right. What I'm talking about is that parent that really, 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 really likes to be right. To the point that they're unwilling to even evaluate if they're wrong about something. This is the parent that will often struggle with this. They want, it is more important to be right than it is to be sensitive and caring and concerned about other people's feelings. This is that parent that I'm talking about. This is the parent that doesn't like to pick their battles, and that I have just watches. I've just watched families destroy themselves because of this. Why is that? Guess what it does? It teaches kids to always want to be right. So let me ask you, do we see a problem here? You put two people, an adult and a kid even, in a room that both really, 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 really like to be right. What's going to happen? I always like it. I don't know if you guys ever watched National Geographic Channel. But have you ever seen those rams that live up in the mountains and they circle each other and they just bash each other in the head as a form of dominance? And of course they stumble around. Then eventually one of them gives up and then the other one becomes a successor, right? I'll watch parents and kids. I'm talking 30-year-old parents and 4-year-old children do this. And most of the time, it's because these parents have learned not to pick their battles. And they've taught their kids not to pick their battles. And you fight everything. And then get mad at their kids whenever they're like that. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So that's number one. But what's the number one parent that really struggles with this is them. Number two, don't forget. I love what she says in this. Safety includes not just physical hurts, but emotional hurts. I mean, listen so deeply, so poignantly to this, guys. This is so good. We need to teach our kids not to hurt and how to make amends when they do, starting when they're young, starting when they're itty-bitty. It's that beginning to teach the little one who went and whacked the older brother, the 2-year-old who whacked the 4-year-old brother, telling them to go apologize and tell them that they're sorry. Well, Trey, they're not sorry. You may be right. But go ahead and get them in the habit of it. And we need to teach our kids. Safety includes emotional hurts as well. It's very, very important. How do you do this? How do you teach your kids not to hurt? How do you teach them to make amends? Teach them how to apologize. Have them go say sorry to other siblings when they hurt them. Or when they take something that they're not supposed to. Or when they tear up big sister's iPod. Teach them to go apologize. There's more to that we can talk about having them pay back things. I mean, that, you know, depending on their age, but that's a different topic, different day. Also, teach your kids to be sensitive. Some of you dads out there, you're probably like me when you first hear that word. You're like, oh, they're sensitive. Oh, I don't know about that. That does not mean that you teach your kids to cry like crybabies a lot. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm a guy. I got masculinity, and I've got testosterone flowing. So trust me, this is not an idea trying to rob you from that. I like guns. I like to go play football. You can do that and still be sensitive. The definition of sensitive is just is simply put as being responsive to the feelings of others. So men, remember, when your wives come and ask you to be more sensitive, that doesn't mean they want you to cry at the Kleenex commercials. All they're wanting you to do is be responsive to their feelings. And how do you do? And remember, when we say responsive, we're not talking about being reactive to their feelings. I mean, think about it in terms of, say, well, Trey, what's the difference? Think about it in terms of medicine. When we say we've been given a new medicine and that we're reacting to the medicine, right? That's a bad thing. It's aversive. It typically hurts us, right? Women are asking you to be responsive to their feelings, right? When we think about medicine, we say, well, they're responding well to the emotion. That's a good thing. It's a positive thing. That also means what they're saying is, when they say we want you to be more sensitive, what they're saying is don't be unresponsive in most cases. So don't be reactive and don't be unresponsive. Talk to them a little bit. If you'll just bite down on the bullet, I understand it stinks sometimes. I don't like sitting down and talking about my feelings with my wife, but if they're needing it, we need to do that. We need to be sensitive to that. Why am I bringing this up, Trey? This isn't the Marriage Podcast Network. I hear you, but why am I telling you to do that? Because your kids are watching you. Even when you think they're not watching you, even when they think you're not listening to them, they're not listening to you. They are listening to you. So being able to do this with your wife or your husband, from wives to husbands, it's a good way to teach your kids. So teach your kids to be sensitive. That doesn't mean you're making them little why cranny, you know, why cry, you know, pouty butts. That just means that you're teaching them to be responsive to the feelings of others. It's a very, very good way to not only teach them to value and keep them safe in their own emotions, but to keep other people safe, right? If we saw our kid go out and slug another kid in daycare, right, we're going to probably step in and put a stop to that. We need to be doing that with the emotional crap, too. Or else your kid's going to grow up and probably, no, I'm not going to say probably, your kid could grow up to be a bully. We'll just put it that way. And most of us do not want that. We want them to be strong. We want them to set boundaries. We want them to be able to defend themselves, but not be a bully at the same time. Number three, and I love this. I love how she put this. Will it hurt? And it was in her quick tip, I think, in one of the middle paragraphs. She goes, will it hurt my child? Ask yourself, will it hurt my child? Does it greatly affect the rest of my day? And she says, if the answer is no, then try to say yes. Most parents, myself included, when I say anytime I use the word most, my name goes in that hat too. Most parents, when they say no, aren't saying no because they have really good reasons. Many of the times, they're saying no out of convenience. They're trying to parent through convenience. What's easier for me? Well, can I go do this? No. Can Mom and Dad, can I go out and play in the mud puddles? No. Why are we saying no? Well, it's because we recognize that later, and I do this. I did this just the other day. We recognize that later I'm going to have to give this kid a bath, and I don't want to. It's more convenient to tell him no and make him stay in the house instead of playing the mud puddle. So, guys, I recommend ask yourself those questions. Will it hurt my child? Does it greatly affect my day? Some of the answers may be yes. Kid wants to go play in the mud puddle, but y'all got to leave here within the next hour and get headed to, to take older sister to gymnastics, right? It may really seriously affect the rest of the day. It could cause you to be late to the class, which then means that they might have to make the class up next week. Okay, you know, and I get it. That affects the rest of your day. Could it hurt your child? If they want to go play in a mud puddle because it's raining and you heard thunder off in the distance, good reason. That could get them hurt, right? So be asking yourself those questions. Will it hurt my child? Does it greatly affect my day? If the answer is no, chill out. And I, as she puts it, I challenge you to say yes. That's a good way to put it. And then number four and last one, listen to your child's opinions and negotiate. I'm kind of blending these last two ideas that she had into one because I love them. Offer your kids alternatives. Your kid wants to go outside and play in the rain in the mud puddles. Try to find an alternative. Instead, you know, you heard thunder off in the distance, and so we know we can't let him do that. Offer him a middle ground. Try to negotiate with him. Give him an alternative. I tell you what, I can't let you go out and play in the rain because, or I'm not going to let you go play in the rain because there's thunder out there. And lightning, you know, thunder means lightning, and lightning could strike you and it could hurt you, and I don't want you to get hurt. But what you can do if you want is you can go stand on the front porch. Maybe you have a covered porch and you feel safe there. Might let him do that. Well, I don't want to do that. Another alternative, well, I'll tell you what, I'll come out, like this would work with my kids. I'll tell you what, let's go out on the front porch, I'll come and sit with you on the front porch. For me, 99.999% of the time, rounded up. My kids are going to go, really? Okay, yeah, daddy's going to come outside, woohoo! But find those alternatives for your kids. Guys, this alternatives idea is probably one of the top five best things that my wife and I do to keep ourselves from pulling our hair out, as we try to find our kids' alternatives. If my little daughter, Cora, who's two, wants to play with my cell phone, instead of just saying no and yanking it from her, I try to find something else I think she'd really like. Well, guys, that is all that I have for today on this topic. Wonderfully well-written article. Again, I want to recommend you guys go and check out Jamie DeLuna over at avantgardeparenting.com. Again, I will include show links in the bottom down there. You guys can click on and go straight over to her site and check her out. I encourage you guys, get over there. Take a look at some of her articles. She's got really well-written stuff. Stuff that we haven't gotten to on here on FPN. She's got wonderful things. Check her out. Highly recommend her. And then, guys, I also want to recommend, I want to see her do well. So jump up there and click on the parent blogger or the Blogger's Choice Awards and go vote for her site if you like it. If you don't, then worry about it. But if you like it, go over there and vote on her. I think she's worth getting some notoriety and some acknowledgement. Well, guys, that's all I have for today. Guys, consider sharing this on Facebook and Twitter. It's a huge topic, as always. Guys, remember, it is all about the relationships with your kids. I want to say thank you for joining us for this episode of Family Podcast Network. We help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. You guys have a good day. We'll see you guys on Friday.